You know, I've been talking about, I've been writing about this issue regarding Michael Vick. We just spoke about it, right? Well, I thought that I need to have a guy on, and this is the guy who knows. I mean, he was there at the time. He is the past president and CEO of the Humane Society of the United States, the founder now of Animal Wellness Action, and president for the Center of a Humane Economy. And I would argue that Wayne Pacelle has done more legislatively and more for protection of agriculture animals, wildlife, and companion animals, certainly than anyone I've ever known. I call him a friend. But at that time, when Michael Vick went, you know, from jail to touring, talking about dogfighting and talking about why this is not a humane thing to do, it was Wayne Pacelle of the HSUS who went on tour with Michael Vick. So, first of all, thank you very much for joining us, Wayne.
Good to be with you, Steve. Thanks for chatting about this interesting topic.
Well, it is an interesting topic. I mean, who would have thought that the NFL would voluntarily kind of dive into this? They're making their own trouble of sorts. But, you know, I guess the first question out for you is the most difficult one of all. You're the decider. Does Michael Vick be the honorary captain? He's not being, so I have lots of text saying, well, he shouldn't play in the game. No, he's retired. He's not playing. The honorary captain for the Pro Bowl. Should he? Shouldn't he?
You know, I think probably not. The NFL has never really taken animal cruelty and animal welfare issues on in a meaningful way. I mean, I think they had a great chance when Vick came out of prison. And as you said, you know, I began to travel around with Vick, and we spoke to kids in African-American communities and principally in African-American communities about the evils of dogfighting, the horrors that go on with animal cruelty in general. And I thought this would have been a great opportunity for the NFL to also embrace this idea that animal welfare matters, that animal cruelty matters, but they were pretty silent. And, you know, you and I talked about this when we discussed the idea of Mike coming on your show and talking about this. And, you know, I was a little bit undecided on the NFL. And I think, you know, if the NFL really were active on animal welfare issues and made this a concern, like it's made domestic violence a concern and other questions, then Vick presents an incredible opportunity to have a dialogue about this issue. But if they're not going to talk about that, they're just going to say, oh, we're going to really give Michael Vick notoriety and just disassociate from the animal welfare issue, then I think it's not justified.
So you were there with him. Do you think he really is rehabilitated? And before you have an opportunity to answer that question, for people who don't know, I alluded to it just a little bit earlier in the show, Wayne. Not only did he oversee a dog fighting ring, but he also participated himself. And he did so in ways and did things that I can, but I'm even hesitant to talk about on the radio. That's how horrible what he did was. I mean, I can't fathom any human being doing that to an animal. What's more, we know, and I know you know, through lots of studies that have been done, it takes a certain personality type to do these things in the first place. So for me, I don't necessarily buy his explanation at the time. Well, I was brought up that way. Well, not everyone brought up that way gets involved in dogfighting, and not everyone, if they are involved in dogfighting, maybe they're gambling, maybe they're watching, not that that's good, but they're not doing what Vick personally did, like drown dogs and set them on fire. I mean, all these things that are horrific, horrific things, and we would believe that if Vick wasn't, or I believe maybe if Vick wasn't caught, who knows, he'd be still doing it now. So that's a lot to ask all at once there.
Yeah. Well, listen, Steve, you and I agree on one thing. What he did was absolutely horrifying. It's almost unfathomable in terms of the cruelty. It's made all the worse by the fact that here's a man who was at the top of professional sports. He was an immense talent. to do something so senseless and barbaric and to jeopardize so much in terms of his career was also, I think, so perplexing to so many people. I want to just give a little background and a little context. You know, when this issue came to light, I'd been working very, very aggressively on the issue of dogfighting and cockfighting. In fact, we had a bill on George W. Bush's desk. He was president in 2007 when Vic was arrested in Virginia after his cousin, Devin Bodie, was stopped and went to the House, and USDA, U.S. Department of Agriculture, and local officials and others essentially raided the house, found dogfighting paraphernalia, found dogs, found a fighting pit in the back that was painted all black. I, like you and so many others, beat the drum to say this man must be prosecuted. No one is above the law. We don't care that he makes $15 million a year or whatever his salary was. What he did was horrific.
I'm going to stop you there. Right. Anyway, Wayne, I'm going to stop you there because there is only one thing more important than Wayne Pacelli. And that would be weather and traffic. So we are going to pause for that. And I want to hear the rest of that story. We will all hear the rest of that story. 548 on WGN. Steve Dale here for Mr. Ro Khan. What an honor to be here today. So thank you very much, WGN. Thank you very much, Ro Khan, for allowing me to do this. And I have exciting news for Wayne Pacelli, past president of the Humane Society of the United States and the founder of Animal Wellness Action and president for the Center of the Humane Economy. Wayne, the good news is that I am going to, in a little while, give away some Lou Malnati's pizza. That's good news, isn't it? Wayne? Yeah, it is. Wayne, you there?
Guess he's not a deep dish guy.
Yeah, not everybody
very
is.
Good
it's
news.
Shocker.
Very good news.
There he is. I know. You don't like Chicago pizza, Wayne?
I love it. I'm a big New Haven pizza fan, but Chicago's pretty damn awesome.
The heck with you, New Haven. I don't even know what that is. But we're going to give away Lou Malnati's pizza after 6 o'clock. The bad news, which apparently isn't that bad for Wayne. He's not getting any. We're talking about Michael Vick, who the National Football League said, oh, we want you to be an honorary captain for the Pro Bowl. This guy, Wayne Pacelli on the phone now, toured with Michael Vick. It was an educational opportunity that the Humane Society of the United States, that's what you saw it as, I believe, to talk about dogfighting in underserved communities. And I think when we took our break, you were telling us how that all came about.
Yeah, he was arrested, rightly so. He was tried, convicted, rightly so. He went to prison. He went to Leavenworth Penitentiary in Kansas, served about 2 years. Ironically, the bill to make dogfighting a federal felony was on the desk of George W. Bush, our president at the time, when Vic was arrested. If he had been arrested 2 weeks later, he could have been tried under that felony provision. But they did try him under the felony provision of the Travel Act, and the underlying crime was for illegal transport of animals across state lines. At the end of his prison term, one of his intermediaries reached out to me in my capacity as CEO of a large national animal welfare group that said, hey, Michael Vick wants to get involved in your anti-dogfighting campaign, which was a really big, robust campaign. And Steve, my first response was, no way, never, absolutely not. This guy is poison. What he did is unforgivable.
And I want to jump. I want to jump in there. And I've mentioned this on the air before. I was at that time, and you know this, Wayne. I was on the board of the American Humane Association. We were given that same offer, and for a variety of reasons, we went with your gut and we declined. But you thought about it and thought, well, maybe this turns out to be a good idea. Correct?
Well, yes, yes. And it was tough for me to do that pivot, Steve. But I thought, you know, this case was so awful. And one of the big things that I took away from the Vic case is that people were shocked that dogfighting even occurs. I knew it, and you know it, because of your vast experience in animal welfare, that it is, you know, unnervingly common in the United States. And I thought, well, here's an opportunity for a movement that is generally a lily white movement. Having a conversation with people in the suburbs for the most part, not having a serious conversation with young kids in urban communities who are exposed to these issues and perhaps not morally inoculated against them. And I thought, you know, Vic is going to draw a crowd. He is going to get attention. Maybe we turn his horrific acts into a teaching moment for thousands of kids. So I agreed. I went out and saw him at Leavenworth. You ask, you know, was his heart changed? Was he sincere? I never could answer that question, but I sure hoped it had been. And I wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt. If he betrayed me and if he betrayed the animals, that would be on him, not on me. And he and I traveled probably to 50 different cities. We spoke to crowded high school amphitheaters, you know, packed to the rafters. And we spoke about animal cruelty and we spoke about dogfighting to stay away from it all and to be advocates for animals. I thought that was an incredible takeaway and turning, you know, lemons into lemonade. At the same time, we were working to upgrade the legal framework against animal cruelty, and we worked to pass 40 upgrades of animal fighting statutes because of the Vic case. So I thought, hey, let's use this as an opportunity to help animals and use it as a teaching moment.
Well, I don't think it should be go unnoticed that, yes, I'm aware that laws were passed essentially because of what Michael Vick horrifically did, but also the press attention that he received while dogfighting received. And you're right. I agree that people didn't even know that this thing existed that we call dogfighting, and now they did. So that if there's good news to come out of all that, that was good news. And you were very much a part of making that happen. My question to you is when you went on, I don't know what to call it, when you went on tour with Michael Vick, did you achieved, do you think you achieved those goals that you just said? And did Michael Vick, I know that he didn't, you know, he said dogfighting isn't good, let's be humane to animals, but he never really, to my knowledge, discussed specifically, graphically, what he did.
Yeah, I mean, I think animal cruelty can't stand the spotlight. You know, it thrives in darkness. And when we expose it and we talk about the details, and I certainly did talk about the details. I mean, I don't think Michael Vick is an outstanding communicator on animal welfare issues, right? I mean, I think he was a little bit, he was a little bit out of his element. It was awkward for him because of what he had done. You know, he spoke about it. He had the attention of the kids. They got a very clear message that animal fighting is wrong, animal cruelty is wrong. Some of these schools that, you know, never had a conversation like this, Animal Protection Club started. I think that was positive. Do we know in his heart, you know, if he really changed? Steve, I don't know. You raised questions about it. I understand your perspective. It makes perfect sense. But I'm hoping people can change, because if we treat people as static, that people who do terrible things to animals are never going to change, you know, that's trouble for us, because we're going to have to live with these people in our society. I think the conversations that we had with principals, with teachers, with students at these schools all across the country were a very, very good thing. And Vic, even as painful as we think about what he did is and was, what came out of that was tremendous awareness and action toward animals. And that's what you and I want. That's what you and I have strived our entire adult lives to achieve.
But was his motivation to resurrect his image so he can come back to the NFL, or was his motivation really just to communicate to kids? And I think the former. You tell me. You were there.
Yeah, I mean, I think he'd have to be, you know, just completely monstrous to go through this experience and not learn that this was the most diabolical and terrible thing he's ever done in his life. I mean, if you can't learn that lesson, you're never going to learn a lesson about anything. I hope that in his heart, he will never get near a dogfighting pit. I hope he will never do anything hostile toward an animal. I think he heard me. He heard a lot of other people say that. He heard the chorus of people, so many of whom you organized, Steve, to, you know, raise objections and rightly condemn this stuff. You know, he's not you, and he's not, you know, an animal advocate who's really practiced at talking about these things, but I sure as heck hope so. And I'll tell you that I got a lot of kudos from African-American clergymen, from business leaders, said, listen, he screwed up. We don't like dogfighting, but give the guy a second chance. You're giving him a second chance to turn something that was terrible into something positive. And we appreciate you. And I think that was really important for our movement, to show that capacity.
Absolutely true. And I want to ask you about something completely different having to do with coyotes, of all things, and something that happened right here in the Chicago area. We'll do that, Wayne, after the news. Steve Dale here for RoCon, and thank you very, very much for the kind text comments. I'm reading them all, and I do very much appreciate that. And in fact, several of the comments refer to my wife and I lost a dog this week, and quite suddenly. I'm going to be talking about that on Wednesday. I'm here for John Williams from 9 to 11:30, so I will include that part in the discussion. And my response to someone who said, and I'm sure Wayne Pacelli would be outraged by this, in response, it's only a dog. And I do have a response for that. Wayne Pacelli, former CEO of the and president of the Humane Society of the United States, is now founder of Animal Wellness Action and president for the Center for a Humane Economy. Hi, Wayne. I don't know why I'm not doing anything differently. Wayne has problems when I say hello, Wayne. Let's do it again. Hello, Wayne.
Hey, Steve. How are you?
Okay. You keep disappearing on me. I'm great. And we were talking earlier about Michael Vick, but I did want to ask you something else unrelated to that. So a woman who lives on in the southwest suburbs of Chicago rescues several coyotes. They were taken to her because they were dying. And she said, well, I'll try to see them through it. And much to her own surprise, they all live. But now what do? They're imprinted on people. And there's nowhere at this point in time, none of the rehabilitation centers, none of the education centers would take the coyotes. So what does she do with four coyotes? So she says, all right, I'll do it in my own large backyard. I'll make it a coyote playground. She got all the right permits and for 13 years, had no problems whatsoever with the Illinois Department of Natural Resources, the U.S. or state of Illinois Departments of Agriculture. Nothing. In fact, she was commended for what she did. She also offered community education programs, and the neighbors, in fact, liked the fact that they were there. No complaints at all. But then one day, that's a knock on the door. That's the best I can do. The Illinois Department of Natural Resources does that with guns pointed at her. They trapped the coyotes who were crate trained like dogs might be crate trained. And because she didn't respond to a $25 license renewal that she was unaware of. $25, which of course she would have paid. They removed the coyotes in a very inhumane way. As a result, in my opinion, three of them died. It's not my opinion they died. It's my opinion as to probably why they died. It was so traumatic, and there's video of all this available. They wouldn't allow her to say, you know, just go to your crates, coyotes. No. They used a trapping method that would have been perfect for 1961, but not now. We know better now. We don't have to do these things today, but they did. Three of the coyotes die as a result. One coyote left, and they won't return the coyote to her. And I'm thinking about what you make of all this, and if there's something that you can think of that can be done, Wayne.
Well, I think she was heroic in helping these coyotes. I mean, they're not domesticated animals. We have a whole infrastructure to deal with stray animals, injured animals, for dogs and cats who need us. We've got shelters and rescue groups. But for wildlife, when they're orphaned or when they're injured, there's really not much of a safety net. We have a much thinner network of wildlife rehabilitation centers. Tommy stepped into the void and cared for these animals. And as you said, for 13 years, did so very, very well by all estimations and acted in a way that was consistent with the rules and regulations of the state and federal government. And then, as you say, really on a technical issue, they kind of use that to then overreach and overreact and physically harmed these animals in an attempt to confiscate them when they had clearly been bonded to her. I mean, over 13 years, whether you're a wild animal or a domesticated animal, you're going to connect with the person who feeds you and cares for you and looks after you.
Yeah.
I will say, Steve, that state fish and wildlife agencies have been service agencies for hunters and trappers for decades. They think in terms of populations. They don't think in terms of individual animals. To be concerned about the suffering of individual animals is really a laughable concept for a lot of these agencies. And this is a really dramatic example of those archaic attitudes applied to a painful and very real situation in the Chicago suburbs. I think it's terrible what happened.
Any way you can help, he says on the air, putting in an unfair position. But, I mean, is there anything that you can think of that, I mean, this has been an issue in the Chicago area. It's gotten publicity, and so far nothing has happened.
Well, you've done it on your Steve Dale, petworld.com blog, and the Chicago Tribune has done stories about this. There's a change.org petition.
Yeah.
You know, I urge people to go there and raise your voices. I mean, it's only pressure. Now, the problem is much of the injury has already been sustained. The manhandling of these animals contribute to 3 or 4 deaths, and the issue now is one has been moved to a sanctuary in the neighboring state of Indiana, and Illinois is not wanting to allow the caretaker of these original 4 coyotes to care for the one who remains. I think she should get the animal back. But it's going to be public pressure. I think what you're doing now, drawing attention to it and having others join you in, creating a chorus on this issue.
Well, thank you for singing along with the chorus, and I may be talking to you more about this off the air. It is always a pleasure to talk to you, Wayne. We haven't talked in a while. I wish you and your family a safe and healthy New Year.
Same to you. Thank you so much, Steve.